Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. This is your host, Dr. Terry Mason. The show, The Doctor in the House, is for every Sunday right here on AM 1690 WBLU. Call a friend, call somebody, tell them to tune in. And you can also go to the internet and listen to us on iHeartRadio, as well as go to the WBON Facebook page so that you can see us and watch the show as it live streams live on the WBON Facebook page. We've got a great show. This is a show that normally would have happened on the first Sunday, but we had some changes to make and we made them. But this is the University of Illinois Cancer Center, and I'll be introducing the people that we're going to have in just a minute. But I want to just, first of all, introduce the other co-host, Dr. Thomas Britt. Good morning, Dr. Britt.
How are you?
Good. And I also want to let everyone know that Arkansas and California and everybody in the world who wants to listen is listening. So we want to thank Ms. Mishima Britt for her activism in Arkansas and getting things done. So getting people, we got a very timely subject for no matter where you are. We're going to be talking about cervical cancer awareness. So we've got some really, really important people that are going to be talking about that. We have Ms. Tanisha Black, who is a nurse and a survivor of cervical cancer. Shannon McLaughlin, who is a director of gynecologic oncology at the University of Illinois, and it's going to be our expert to comment about that. But before we get to those things, as always, we have our COVID update. So, Dr. Britt, you want to give us our COVID update?
Yes, I will. This is the COVID report for today, Sunday, the 16th of January. It's brought to you by the Health Policy Institute of Chicago. Breaking news. The Supreme Court, as of this week, the 13th of January, has blocked Biden's vaccination or weekly test mandate for employers who have 100 or more employees. This is a big sting. We're trying to get everybody vaccinated so we can control this disease. Good news, relatively good news, is the mandate for healthcare workers is supposedly upheld. Unvaccinated people with COVID-19 are 29 times more likely to require hospitalization than those who have been vaccinated. This is according to the CDC. Nurses are now being told to use their vacation and sick days if they test positive for COVID. Now, this is a significant crisis. The healthcare workers, the nurses, the doctors, and everybody else are getting burned out. They're leaving. And so when we talk about hospitalizations, we have to understand that we may have the beds, but we may not have the staff to take care of the beds. So we are in a crisis mode. Insurance companies are to start paying for at-home COVID tests. You can go to covidtest.gov, and you're eligible for 4 tests per month. covidtest.gov, you're eligible for 4 tests per month. The question is it 4 tests per household? And if it's four tests per household and you have four persons, we still have a problem. So the public health people must talk to administration to make sure this is worked out. This COVIDtests.gov effectively starts on the 19th of this month, and it may take 7 to 12 days before you get delivery of the test. How many cases in the U.S. do we have? How many deaths in the U.S. do we have? As of just this past week, Friday or Saturday, we have 65 million confirmed cases of COVID. Worldwide, we have 323 million cases of COVID. Within the states with the most per capita, North Dakota, 14.8%, Rhode Island, 14.7%, South Dakota, 14.2%, Utah and Tennessee, both at 13%. I'm going to tie this in a little bit, so give me a moment. COVID-19 deaths in the U.S., 853,000. We have gone beyond 800,000, with 853,000. Worldwide, we have 5,533,251. Note, the U.S. is about 4% of the global population. However, we have 20% of the cases and 15% of the deaths. We got to ask why. We kind of know the why, but we got to ask the why, and then we have to act on that answer. Vaccine progress. Fully vaccinated in the U.S. is up to around 63%. In order for us to achieve herd immunity, we need about 70 to 90%. So we're far beneath that. And in Illinois, we have 65% fully vaccinated. Arkansas, 51% fully vaccinated. Texas, 57% fully vaccinated. Going forward, COVID-19 may become an endemic disease. Endemic means an expected number of cases in a given location annually, requiring a booster once or more a year. To date, however, we're not really sure because the science is evolving. So stay tuned with the science, with the public health officials. Encouraging drug treatment modalities are being developed. But remember, vaccination or prevention remains the mainstay to controlling this disease. Professional organizations, I hear some people who are contemplating pregnancy and they think fertility and pregnancy is adversely impacted. Here's the news. Professional organizations have reported no evidence that COVID-19 vaccination adversely impacts the fertility in men and women of reproductive age, nor pregnancy in women. In fact, they recommend vaccination if you are considering pregnancy in the future. A couple more points, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Mason. Chronic, common, and pre-existing diseases increases morbidity and mortality of COVID-19. Obesity should also be included here, as research has shown that obesity worsens the outcome. We can and we must control this pandemic. Please, please, please do the following. Get vaccinated, get tested, isolate or quarantine as is necessary, continue to wear your mask in crowded places, continue washing your hands, continue with physical distances, clean surfaces frequently used, and last but not least, vigorously seek medical and healthy approaches to control your chronic diseases. Dr. Mason.
Thank you, Dr. Britt, for that report. And I understand they got a little snow down and almost a foot of snow down in Arkansas. So that's got to be something. But let's get on to our show today. And Ms. Tanisha Black, and we want to introduce her first and just have her tell us your story. Good morning, Ms. Black. How are you today?
I am well. Good morning to you all.
Good. So go ahead, Ms. Black. You have the floor. The audience, the microphone, let's get it on.
Okay. Well, so I guess I originally learned about the cancer the end of last year. It was in December, right around Christmas time. And I actually just had a little girl that I had been waiting for forever. So it was a little devastating for myself to find out that now that I've had my daughter, that that now this is another battle that needed to be fought at that time. And it, I was extremely nervous. I was scared. I immediately went into thinking like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die and someone else is going to have to be responsible for raising my daughter. However, obviously that wasn't the case. And during the pregnancy, there was some things that took place that make me think that, and I was older during this time of the pregnancy. So I thought that maybe those spotting and things of that nature was contributing to the spotting of me being a little bit older and carrying a child at that point. And then to find out after I gave birth to my daughter that it was due to cervical cancer, it was really scary. From that point, of course, I went to the doctor's appointments and found out what I needed to do. But just knowing that at that point in my life, it was extremely scary. So that's how I found out. So, yeah.
I can imagine that would be very scary to find out and the things that you've already said that went through your mind. So mm-hmm. Why don't we, and I know now you are an advocate for cervical cancer screening. Tell us how you got to that.
So I have always been very big on believing that the things that I've had to experience in life, if I could help it, other individuals should not have to experience it. So, of course, me going through that and then going through it when me having a very, very small child, I just wanted to ensure that there was other individuals that may have had to face the same issues that I've had to. They are well-informed. They are not experiencing the type of fear that I was experiencing, only having my physicians the doctors to speak with. And if I could get it out there and to have other individuals to know that it is not a death sentence and that is more important for you to know what your current state is. It's really important in order for you to go and get your screenings. It's really important for you to even understand the nature of where it comes from and so on and so forth. My particular cervical cancer was contributed to the HPV virus. So even to get that information out there in regards to understanding HPV, understanding what it does and the effects that it can have and how important it is to keep up with those doctor's appointments and things of that nature. I just don't want another young lady to have to experience anything that I had to experience not knowing. So that's one of the reasons why I was so interested in being an advocate. So
that's